Skyhooks by Alan Plater, directed in Manchester by Caroline Smith.
Something doesn't happen soon. One of us might be tempted to start work. I always said there was a God.
Hello, J. Bellamy, RIB, Chartered Architect. Yeah, there's no one in the office right now. He says if there's no one here, who am I?
You're an office cleaner on your way home.
Oh, I. Hello. Yeah, I'm an office cleaner on my way home. He says I sound like a fella.
You are a fella. You're a transvestite. You've got your name down for the operation, but your socialist principles mean you're waiting to have it done on the National Health.
Right. Hello, yeah. I'm a transvestite. I'm waiting to have the operation, but there's a big queue at National Health, see? Because of my socialist principles. Thank you very much. Bye.
What's he say?
Bollocks.
Must have been the town planning officer. You'll never crack it in a decent middle-class profession like architecture if you use peasant language like A-up.
There's a bird outside, in the outside office.
Hmm? A woman-shaped silhouette. A-up!
Hey, are those the soft bits at the top you told me about?
Yeah.
Hey, hide, quick. I'll pretend to be a filing cabinet.
Shh, hide. Hello? Is anybody in? Hello?
Good morning, madam.
Jesus.
Oh, sorry, no. Ben. Ben Graham. No, the man you're looking for goes under the name of Bellamy. He'll be in later.
Were you hiding?
In a manner of speaking, yeah. I'm not the only one, though. This is Pete. He also was hiding. This is an architect's office. Did you intend to walk into an architect's office?
Yes.
It's not a thing to do lightly.
J. Bellamy, RIBA, Chartered Architect.
Yeah?
I'm supposed to be starting work here this morning.
Golly. How super duper. You're coming to work here?
Well, I'm a student from the School of Architecture. I'm coming to work here through the VAC. To get some experience.
Experience?
Yes.
I should think you've got every chance.
Hey, there's some dolly bird starting this morning. Oh, I'm sorry, love. I didn't see you.
Oh, that's all right.
This is Carol. She should have been sitting at that desk outside to welcome you when you arrived, but she's a lazy cow.
But one of the kids was ill.
Oh!
Are they looking after you all right, love?
Fine, thanks.
But a cup of coffee would go down very well. We generally start with a coffee break. It saves time later on.
I'll put the kettle on.
Hey, will you switch the phone through while you're at it? It rang just now, and I had to walk all that way across the office.
If you get sick of them, come and talk to me.
Would you like a conducted tour?
As long as I'm not stopping you from working.
Oh, I can always manage to stop myself from working. No artificial aids required, thanks. Right, well, this is what we term an architect's office. Now, it's Monday morning, almost 9:30, so consequently hardly anybody's arrived yet. Ah, well, you see, architecture is a profession. I mean, we're not workers, we're not artisans, we're professional men. Pillars of rotary and idle as buggery. That's Mr. Bellamy's office, behind the door marked Bellamy. He's the boss, therefore he isn't here yet. Though, to be fair, he's probably grovelling to the bank manager, hoping to keep us in work a week or two longer. More than we deserve. The drawing office, though, is where the real work is done. And, as you can see, no work is as yet being done. This stool is occasionally occupied by Tom Chambers. He's the oldest inhabitant. Fought in the war on one side or the other. He now specialises in drainage layouts and draft Guinness. He'll arrive in due course saying, "Sorry I'm late. Had to call at Foster's to check the drainage layout." Ah. Ignoring the empty spaces caused by a recession in the economy, we move on to Pete, who's masterminding the upturn. Charles Dickens would have called him an office boy. He's got 2.5 O-levels and a father with influence, which is why he's here. Mm. As you can see, he spends most of his time listening to his tranny through his headphones. Tell the lady what you're doing.
You are?
Oh, if you need to attract his attention, just switch to Radio 3. Tell the lady what you're doing.
Why, I'm doing these plans for a veranda extension.
Yeah, it's not a paying job, just a small favour for a friend of Mr. Bellamy's.
And on Friday night, I spilt a bottle of black ink over it, so I'm scratching out this bloody great black block with a razor blade. I only to tear them up and start all over again, but they reckoned it'd be good for me. You know, to scratch it out. This bloody great black block.
It builds character.
Don't want any character, thanks. Mm-hmm.
I think you're doing it beautifully.
Ta.
Crawl back into your radio, Pete. Now, this stool is occasionally occupied by Raymond Cass. He's what we call in the trade a shifty bastard. He's a senior member of staff, and therefore he isn't here yet. But now we come to the high spot of the tour. This stool is normally occupied by Ben Graham, a richly talented and highly sensitive designer, and a very, very wonderful human being. What's your name?
Maggie.
Oh, would you believe that's my favourite name?
No.
Second favourite?
I see you're working on the art page of The Guardian.
Yeah, well, I've got to find out what I'm supposed to think before I can start work.
Is there a drawing beneath the newspaper?
Oh, yes. Proposed warehouse extension for the storage of surgical appliances.
Oh, come on.
I think I'm joking, do you?
I believe you.
Yeah, you're not in the School of Architecture now, though. This, my dear, is the University of Life. Mm-hmm. Ben Graham, University of Life, news at 10. Thank you, Pete. Oh, the only other thing is, don't mention crematoriums.
Crematoriums?
Oh. What did I just say? Well, it seems to me the sensible thing is to go into your office and discuss it.
Well, perhaps we should do just that. As you say, go into the office and discuss it.
I've got a permanent beer contract.
Indeed, I'm sure you have.
Good morning.
What's up with them?
They're going to discuss something in Mr. Bellamy's office.
Great. I'll listen at the keyhole. There's nothing much on the radio.
That was Mr. Bellamy and Mr. Cass.
Mr. Cass, the one and only...
Shifty bastard.
Yeah. You're doing great.
You're having a row. It's about crematoriums.
You're not supposed to mention that.
That's good. That's terrific.
What's that?
Mr. Bellamy just called Mr. Cass a shifty bastard. I think it was shifty.
Sorry, I'm late. Had to call up Foster's to check the drainage layout.
Told you, Maggie.
Good heavens. A vision of loveliness.
Talking about yourself again, Tom.
Tom Chambers.
I'm Maggie.
From the School of Architecture. Come to work with us, get some experience.
I see.
Oh, and I've already told her this is the University of Life.
Oh, no, no, no. This is more your tatty polytechnic of life. Come with me and see my drainage layout.
Hey, Pete.
What?
What's happening behind the door, Mark Bellamy?
Still rowing.
Is it really about crematoriums?
Just the one. Look at that. You know what that is?
It's a drainage layout. Mm.
Serving 106 semi-detached houses and bungalows of amazing ugliness. Needless to say, I didn't design them. But I give you my word, the sewage is in safe hands.
Good.
Yes, I've worked in this office for 20 years, man and beast, for Mr. Bellamy and his father before him.
Oh, God.
And in that time, we've never lost a client through cholera, dysentery, or malaria.
That's very impressive.
Oh, you're a very beautiful young lady.
Thank you.
And you're making a happy draftsman feel very, very old.
And if you're very good, one day I will tell you about my war experience.
Oh, yes, the things you could get in the desert for half a Mars bar.
Hey, oh, somebody's coming out the door, Mark Bellamy.
Good morning, chaps.
Morning.
Knickers.
Up yours.
Ah, you must be Maggie.
I think I must be, yes.
Mr. Bellamy apologizes for his rudeness, but if you'd like to go into his office now, he'll bid you welcome.
Thank you.
Darling.
Watch him like a hawk.
Insist on a whole Mars bar. Oh, you're looking very shifty. Oh, that's to say smart this morning, Mr. Cass.
A question. Which one of you is the transvestite cleaner?
Sorry?
Waiting for the operation on the National Health.
I'm trying to listen to the radio. Do you mind?
Raymond, how can I concentrate on not starting work if you talk surrealism at me?
Yes, there are more important matters to discuss.
Really, name one.
Sweepstake.
Oh, yes.
Good point, Tom.
Can you remember the rules?
It's a pound a call, isn't it? Winner take all.
Ah, simple, right. Straightforward, fine.
Pete! Come out your radio, answer the phone.
Hello, Jay Bellamy, RIBH, after that. Just a sec. Hey, is anybody in yet?
Well, of course not, you can see for yourself.
No, I'm afraid he hasn't arrived yet. No, bye.
Who was that for?
Can't remember. What are you doing?
It's a sweepstake.
It's an old office tradition.
Yeah, well, of course we haven't had one since he's been here.
It happens whenever a pretty young lady comes to work here.
Yes, and it'll help to pass the time till the official receiver gets here.
Everybody puts a pound into the kitty. First one to pull the bird wins the money.
Well, how do you mean, pull the bird?
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Well, there's no British standard specification for bird pulling, but we agreed informally on a previous occasion that a significant show of affection with witnesses.
Yeah, a lunch date, for example.
A gentle caress.
The voluntary removal of a reasonably intimate garment.
You're all married, aren't you?
That's irrelevant.
I think you're dirty old men.
Yeah.
But we need the reassurance as we drift into middle age.
Speak for yourself.
We're all in the menopause.
I'm in my third.
So what?
I keep telling you to read The Guardian.
Don't get it.
You don't get it, you don't win the prize.
Oh,
well done, Raymond. See the way I spotted the double meaning.
But you can stick my name down.
There's only 91 pence here.
Student rate.
You're not a student.
I do two mornings day release.
You never go.
Don't like it, it's daft.
Organising your sweepstake?
Sweepstake? It's not Derby Day, is it?
The Dolly Bird Handicap. Hmm. There's your coffee. Them's with sugar. Them's without.
Oh, it's wonderful how you achieve this day after day using just powder and water.
Mm. They had one when I first came, you know.
One what?
A sweepstake.
Who won?
Well, it was declared null and void. See, the 6-4 favourite got kicked in the ghoulies and the others lost interest.
Is that so, Tom?
I'm too old to remember.
Oh, right. I've got your morning post, everybody.
Uh-huh.
One for you, Mr. Chambers.
Yes, sir, my daughter tells me.
None for you, Pete.
Gosh, how bitterly disappointing.
None for you, Ben.
I don't care. I'll wait for next year's honours list.
And several for Mr. Cass. Oh.
Several for Mr. Cass. Let's hear it for Mr. Cass.
One of them's marked private and confidential.
Oh, private and confidential. Oh. Gee whiz, who's it from?
Frank Barton.
Thank you.
It's none of my business. But I'd very much like a private letter from Frank Barton. He's so rich.
Oh, look, he's slipped it into his pocket unread.
Do you ever plan to grow up?
No use. I failed the written test.
Oh, look! The first prize coming out of the door marked Bellamy. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Somebody else tell her. I've got to sit at my desk and keep my rubber plant company.
Has Mr. Bellamy fully informed you about the workings of this office?
Yes.
If you can pass on any clues, I'd be deeply indebted.
He's been telling me all about the crematorium.
Oh, well, we're all very proud of the crematorium, aren't we, Raymond?
If you want a straight answer, yes, I am.
Is that what you were coming to blows about in there?
Nobody was coming to blows.
Oh, a free and frank exchange of kicks in the groin.
Mind your own business.
Telephone, please!
Oh, hello, Jay Bellamy, RIBA, Chartered Architect. Yeah, just a sec. Are you in, Mr. Cass?
No, I'm just going out.
Tell him his mother's ill.
No, I'm afraid he hasn't come in today. He's had to go to the hospital. Yeah, his mother's been taken seriously ill.
I am not going to the hospital.
You're the way you drive your car.
God help us, a joke. Was it a joke?
That's my best offer in the line of jokes. You must understand that I spent 5 years quivering in a hole in the Western Desert, hiding from the Germans.
Jokes don't come very easy to an old man like me.
Chorus of sympathy for old Tom. On a count of three.
One, two, three.
Now tell me what you and Bellamy were arguing about.
Piss off.
That sounds like a diplomatic refusal.
Right.
All right, tell me why you're getting private and confidential letters from Frank Bart.
Piss off again.
Maggie, I must apologize for the behavior of this staff.
You're the one who keeps saying piss off.
I'd be very happy to take you out for a drink at lunchtime. Just to demonstrate we're quite human, really.
Oh, I'm sorry, I've already got a lunch date. It's a long-standing engagement. Mm.
You can take me out for a drink if you like. Piss off, Ben.
Yeah.
Perhaps another time.
It's always nice to be asked.
Somebody's just dropped from 6-4 favourite to 10-1 outsider.
I was told to ask if someone will show me the model and the drawings of your award-winning crematorium.
Oh, hell, here we go again. Let's hear it for the award-winning crematorium.
Pete!
Phone's ringing, Pete! It isn't ringing. Archdruid Cass would like a word with you.
Maggie would like to see the drawings and model of the crematorium.
Who says?
Mr. Bellamy said I should ask.
Mr. Bellamy obviously thinks it would be good for Maggie's education to see the crematorium drawings and model.
Mr. Bellamy's right.
You think Mr. Bellamy's right?
In this case, yes.
You think Mr. Bellamy is a spineless pillock.
Did I say that?
Yes, on Friday you said that.
Well, obviously we must put it to the vote. All those who think Mr. Bellamy's a spineless pillock, a show of hands, please. Unanimous.
You've all got your hands up.
Just a little exercise in workers' control, Mr. Bellamy.
It's a vote of confidence in Carol's instant coffee.
Jolly good. Are you ready, Mr. Cass?
I'm ready.
In that case, perhaps we could go.
What a very good idea.
Oh, Maggie, isn't it? Look, you must get Peter to show the drawing and model of the
crematorium.
Yes, that too. Why not?
All right, relax, everybody. Gaffer's gone out.
I must say, I was on the very brink of drawing a line.
Do you really want to look at that model and those drawings?
It's what I was told to do.
All right, Pete, get the model out. Let's all have a laugh.
Oh, yeah. Seeing as it's you, Maggie.
Is that why Mr. Bellamy and Mr. Cass are in their best suits? Because of the award?
This very morning, in 15 minutes' time, they will receive the Gold Star Award of the Civic Trust.
Shouldn't that be Civic Trust?
Oh, I always thought it was Civic Trust. Tom?
Hmm? Oh, somebody told me it was the Eurovision Crematorium of the Month.
Oh, model of award-winning crematorium.
Thank you, Pete.
Amazing what you can get awards for these days, isn't it?
Oh, I think it's rather nice.
You do?
Yes.
Right. I'll tell you what's wrong with it. That roof. It isn't properly triangulated.
It's on about triangles again.
The triangle is the soundest structural form known to mankind. The ancient Greeks...
You know them. They're all dead.
Take away the principle of the triangle from the Parthenon. All you're left with is a heap of old rubble.
It is a heap of old rubble.
No. Call me a foolish old man if you like.
You're a foolish old man, Mr. Chambers.
But I still say that that roof isn't properly triangulated.
It's only Jewish crematoriums that have to be triangulated.
Thank you for showing this, Pete.
Well, there's something to do in it. Yeah. And that's what they were arguing about in Bellamy's office.
The crematorium? Whatever for?
Who receives the prize? Who cops the credit?
Well, who designed it?
Oh, well, anything designed in this office is officially designed by Mr. Bellamy.
Mr. Cass did all the drawing.
So I expect he's hustling for the credit.
But why? I mean, apart from the glory of collecting the box of handkerchiefs.
Ah, there's a book token as well, I believe.
But it doesn't really matter, does it?
Oh, yes, it matters. If you're ambitious, it matters.
Well, Mr. Cass is ambitious.
Shot his parents so he could go on the orphans outing to Skegness.
You all drunk your coffee?
That was coffee.
Honestly, I do my best with the powder and water.
Oh, must be something in the water.
Oh, Mr. Bellamy says I have to tell you there'll be a staff meeting after lunch, 2:00.
Why does he want a staff meeting?
Well, apparently it's on account of this row we had with Mr. Cass. He thinks everybody should get together and thrash out a few matters to do with the running of the office.
Waste of time.
Back to me headphones.
Do you often have staff meetings?
Regularly.
I see.
Once a year.
It started about 4 years ago. We had a chap worked here, fresh out of the School of Architecture, full of ideas about workers' control.
He used to wear T-shirts with slogans about blue whales and the Third World.
Full of ideas, he was.
They had to get rid of him in the end.
Had a beard as well.
Oh, he had no chance.
He buggered off to start an electronic ethnic folk group.
Yes, and he left behind this tradition of staff meetings. A forum of ideas and opinion. We all sit around looking daft. More of an extra coffee break, really.
That's all the coffee cups, isn't it?
Oh.
Right. Oh, I might be going early at lunchtime.
The boss is out receiving a major prize. Everybody will be going early at lunchtime.
Just telling you, that's all. Efficiency, you know.
Nice girl, that. Pity she's not more understanding about an old man's whims and perversions.
Pubs are open, Tom.
Hmm?
I'm surprised you're still here.
Good Lord, is it that time already? Yes, well, I think I'll just pop to Foster's, check the drainage layout. Maggie, if you are to gain a deeper understanding of the everyday practicalities of architecture, I think it would be good for you to see a proper drainage layout. To cast your eyes over the good earth as the merry artisans dig deep trenches along its length and breadth. I will show you a real live site foreman.
Ooh.
With his trousers held up with string and a beer belly. You will see bricklayers and carpenters singing their ancient ballads as they work, such as Don't Cry for Me, Argentina, and Puppet on String.
Does this invitation include lunch?
We could very well retire to some friendly hostelry to absorb what we have seen, heard, and sniffed.
Sorry. I've already got a lunch date.
There's another man, Tom. Quit while you're behind.
Oh, well. Another year. If there is another year.
Oh. See you closing.
What about the staff meeting?
Staff meeting? I've had more fun watching a hen sit.
I think you're very cruel to him.
Yeah, it's just our little spot of homely fun. Cheerful office badinage, light-hearted disemboweling. Did Mr. Bellamy say what else you had to do? Oh, once you'd beheld the wonder and majesty of the crematorium.
Well, he said to have a look through some of your other drawings, to see what sort of work you do.
Oh, right. Pete, Maggie would like to see some of our other drawings.
What for?
Well, so she may understand the range of our work, its richness and grandeur.
Hasn't got any.
Well, let her see for herself, eh?
All right. Come on.
Thanks, Pete.
You did ask.
You've done that.
You want me to do two things?
Yep.
Two things in the same mould.
Just pop round to Universal Photocopiers, get me six prints off that.
Why do you want six copies of this crap for?
So six important people can have one each.
Yeah.
Or three important people can have two each.
You just want to get rid of me.
And so I can get rid of you.
You've got no chance. You're too old.
It's like the Olympics, Sunbeam. The glory is in the taking part. Oh, go on, I'll buy you a pint at lunchtime.
Right. If anybody rings, I'm out.
If anybody rings, everybody's out. Well?
What?
What do you think of the standard of work that goes through this office?
Well, it's only a casual glance.
Oh, yeah, but based on a casual glance.
I think it's, dreadful.
Right.
Apart from the crematorium, that I'm not allowed to mention.
You're not allowed to mention that?
All right. I think it's dreadful. God, you'd be slung out of any school of architecture if you produced stuff like that.
True.
But we're a jolly fun lot of people, don't you think?
No. You make bad jokes all the time.
Well, it's only because we can't think of good ones. It's like the famous architect says. We don't mean to design ugly buildings, we just fail to design beautiful ones.
Oh, maybe I expected too much.
Yeah, you thought we'd be designing Jerusalem and you get bad jokes. Well, it's only because we're afraid. You see, jokes protect us from what we fear. Even Freud knew that and he was no sort of comic. Decent banjo player.
No jokes!
Huh?
Talk properly.
You mean from the heart?
For once.
Oh, you...
See if you can remember how it's done.
Flutter those big brown eyes at me and expect me to break the habit of a lifetime.
How long have you worked here?
Oh, when I started, I gave myself 5 years.
How long have you worked here?
Then I'd move on to greater heights.
How long have you worked...
7.5 years, yeah. I'm 50% over the allowance.
Where would you go? Some other office?
Name one in this town. One who just got traffic lights. Yeah, and this one's shrinking fast, that's for sure. Every time there's a twitch in the bank rate, the music stops and Mr. Bellamy takes another stool away. May I show you something?
I might scream.
No, it isn't a joke, Maggie, I promise. Have a look at these. This is my escape route. I call them the Colditz files.
And you've never shown them to anybody else?
Only to beautiful young students who pass through in search of wisdom.
Oh, bollocks.
Yeah, that's a fair comment. That's the unfinished novel.
What's it about?
A discontented young architect.
Wow, what a surprise.
Hmm? Oh, yeah, I had to write in a comic vicar in chapter 3, so I knew I was in trouble. That's the unfinished television play.
About?
It's a while since I wrote it.
A discontented architect?
That comes into it, yeah. Oh, bloody hell. I've forgotten about this.
What is it?
The song cycle. I was going to make an LP with Rasputin.
Not the Rasputin.
Yeah. No, it was that crazy guy who worked here and started all the staff meetings. Tom used to call him Rasputin because he wore a beard and nothing you said could offend him. He was into music, synthesizers and stuff. Always electrocuting himself, in a nice way. We were working together on a song cycle about the meaning of life. I was doing the lyrics, only mostly they seemed to be about discontented
architects. And you couldn't think of a good rhyme for architects.
Rasputin looked at me lyrics. He said, "Do you mind constructive criticism?" "No," I said. "They're useless," he said. Oh. Nice lad, we miss him. There's the thought for the day file.
Oh, what's that about?
Ah, well, every morning when the staff were all assembled, usually by about 11 o'clock, I'd read him a thought for the day. "Brethren and sistren, do you ever pause to think that life is like a beautiful green lawn in the midst of a lovely English country garden? And as you walk through your garden at the dawning of another day, how often do you see at that crucial part of your beautiful green lawn a pile of dog shit?" Well, whenever I see a pile of dog shit in the middle of my lawn, I'm always reminded of the opening words of St. Paul's famous epistle to the Corinthians. You'll recall the text, I'm sure. It begins, "Dear Corinthians."
Is that it?
Yeah, afraid so. That's the trouble with thought for the day. You realise you can't really think of any good thoughts.
Will you ever make it? The Great Escape?
I don't know.
You could always try finishing something.
Hemingway says the only true end is death.
Oh, that's a bit gloomy.
Yeah, well, working for J. Bellamy, RIBA, Chartered Architect, does not guarantee true happiness. You check the small print. I'll tell you the great secret. We're all looking for skyhooks.
Skyhooks?
Yeah. Oh, they are, as you'll have guessed, a mythical beast. Oh,
I got that much. I really am quite bright, even though I'm a woman.
Oh, my dear, I'm so sorry. All I've done is talk about myself. Self, 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 my own worst enemy. You must have lots of traumas you wish to discuss.
Not really. You tell me about skyhooks.
Well, skyhooks are what we pin our dreams on. And since they are a mythical beast, what price our dreams?
Thank you.
Thank you.
For talking properly and for not being boring.
How have I not been boring? I think I've been extremely boring.
Well, at least you haven't asked me what I'm doing for lunch.
Oh, you have got a lunch date then?
Yes.
Oh, never mind. I'll ask you tomorrow when I've had time to save up.
And in the meantime, I'll make do with the story of your life.
It's going to be crazy though, really, isn't it? I mean, it's a...
Good, decent, middle-class profession. Clean hands and all. I suppose to get job satisfaction. I'm not supposed to sit around and moan and make bad jokes all the time.
But you do.
Oh, yeah. Professions. See, that's who I blame. I mean, if you're on an assembly line at Dagenham, you're allowed to hate it and go on strike and screw the bosses. I don't blame them, I would. And if you're on the dole, you're not supposed to like it. And you can be a welfare state scrounger. Yeah, and I'd happily do that too. Seems pretty sensible under the circumstances. But this, we're supposed to love this and respect it. I'll give you three wonderful words. Justice, healing and shelter. And we turn them into the legal profession, the medical profession and the architectural profession, with little certificates at the end of it saying we're good enough to be one and climb the ladder. And then we run the whole shooting match like a gentleman's club or a tatty public school. And the snakes are the best at climbing the ladders.
Not always.
Oh, yes, they're crawling round rich clients, in joining the golf club, flattering the chairman of the planning committee.
But if you can't join them, beat them.
What? No. The best building this office has ever produced is that crematorium. Yeah. The rest of it's garbage. But you see, on the other hand, people, ordinary dog-loving people with gardens, they hate it.
Have you asked them all individually?
Oh, don't be daft, but I know they love the garbage and they hate what we think's good. On the other hand, people and architects, all of them, they love our great cathedrals, our old market towns, and the glory that was Greece, right?
Yes.
Yes, but you see, the people that built those things, they weren't professionals with certificates. Half of them couldn't even write their own bloody names. When we make professions, we separate people like me and you from their own bloodstream. We talk to each other in a language that nobody else can understand. Unless, of course, they've got the certificates. I'll give you another wonderful word. Democracy. Oh, we turn that into Whitehall and Westminster.
Yes. But it's all a bit cosmic, isn't it? I mean, you're still here working for J. Bellamy, Chartered Architect, still drawing your salary.
Well, I have a small skill for doing plans of warehouses to accommodate surgical appliances.
You're working for a basically decent man called Bellamy.
Yes, as it happens, he is. On the other hand, I could sell this small skill to the highest bidder. Someone like the dreaded Raymond Cass.
Well, he works here.
Oh, not for long. That's a snake crawling up the ladder if ever I saw one.
I think you should stay here. But keep on working at your Colditz files. Keep on digging your escape tunnels.
I'm 31 years old. I've got a wife, 2.4 kids, an above-average mortgage, a small talent going to waste, and I'm very frightened and I don't know what to do.
Hey, your shitface is on radio!
That could apply to 100 of your favourite disc jockeys, Peter, me old son.
No, Mr. Cass!
That shitface!
First of all, may I congratulate you, Mr. Cass, on behalf of us all at the radio station, for winning this important architectural award.
My God, he's bloody done it.
Thank you very much.
Grovelling modesty.
The first such award to be won in this area, I believe.
I believe so, yes.
He was up for 7 nights checking.
What are the qualities you've tried to put into the building?
Difficult to say in words, but I suppose good proportions, sensible choice of materials, and above all, modesty. Mm-hmm. I don't think buildings should show off, do you?
Yeah.
And what lies ahead after the crematorium?
Sod all, usually.
It's a very difficult thing to predict in the architectural profession. Well, naturally, one has ambitions, and I suppose my chief interest lies in the domestic field. The housing. Making a decent environment for people to live in.
Oh, that man should be a saint. Hey, ring the Vatican, Pete.
Thank you very much.
Switch that off, people, and vomit.
You didn't ask him to choose a record.
As long as you don't vomit over any of my drawings.
Oh. Good morning, Mr. Barton.
A hive of industry as usual, I see.
We were just listening to Mr. Cass on the radio.
I've been trying to ring him all day, and all I hear is that nobody's in.
Well, they're up at the crematorium getting their Civic Trust Award. Oh.
Hey, have you seen it? Have you seen that crematorium in the flesh?
In the ashes.
Like a bleeding urinal, that's what it looks like. Oh. Begging your pardon, my love. I don't think we've met.
Oh, this is Maggie. She started work here today. Maggie, Frank Barton. Builder.
Contractor.
Delighted to meet you.
Good morning, Mr. Barton.
Our mutual friend here might have mentioned that I'm the man who keeps the office going. Also, the man who made the words Oberon, Arden, Elsinore and Executive famous across length and breadth of six counties.
Have I seen your television commercial?
I don't know. Have you seen his television commercial?
The village green and the...
The maypole, the drum majorettes, the Morris dancers.
You too can live in a 20th century village, but without getting horse muck on your Volvo.
Executive homes in a pastoral setting. Here, every motor mechanic and spot welder wants to think he's an executive.
How'd you get your spots, Pete? Are they welded on?
No, I eat too many toffee apples.
Yes, oh. I remember it. It's the commercial with that woman who used to be a famous pop singer in the 50s. Oh, she plays the milkmaid. Oh, I can't remember her name.
Nobody can. She can't. Always pissed on my money. But I'm not complaining. I keep filling large green fields with houses and people keep buying them. God's in his heaven and... Hey, where is God, by the way? I want a word with him.
Mr. Bellamy.
Mr. Cass.
Mr. Cass. Oh. A minute ago, he's in that cheap transistor radio.
Are they coming back here?
Well, eventually, I suppose.
Tell him I've been trying to telephone and I'll see him in the Manhattan bar at the Midland, 1 o'clock sharp.
Mr. Bellamy.
Mr. Cass. You should do very well here, sweetheart. You've got brains and beauty in all the right places.
I've got a good set of A-levels, too.
I know, I can't keep my eyes off them. 1 o'clock. Tell him.
Oh. Does he materialise in here very often?
Quite often, yeah.
Oh, next time I'll make the sign of the cross and wave garlic in his face.
Oh, we think he's a pet.
Calm off it.
Yeah, we put his name down for a safari park.
What, reptile house?
Now, that's unfair. Some of my best friends are boa constrictors.
Oh, dear.
Does he really keep the office going?
Afraid so, yeah. Well, you looked at the drawings.
But I didn't see his name on any of them.
Oh, the drawings don't always have his name on. Sometimes it's Elsinore, Executive Homes.
Arden Estates.
Oberon Development.
For tax purposes.
They're all the same houses.
Well, why the Shakespearean names?
His wife had a nasty experience at Stratford.
She met him.
At the theatre?
Yeah, he was stripping lead off the roof. Now, there you go. Is it type A, Executive Home? Or is it type B?
Oh.
Identical to the type A, except it's left-handed with a bow window stuck on.
They're both hideous.
Ah, but we are working on a type C for redundant executives. It's a tin shack with a hotline to the DHSS.
No joking, Pete. The lady doesn't like it.
Mm.
Besides, it is serious. Professionally speaking, it's money for old rope. Frank Barton buys a field, we cram as many houses on it as possible. Tom does the drains, the town planners are bribed as and when necessary.
My dad fixes the building regulations.
Your dad?
He's a building regulations officer at the town hall. That's why I'm here. Influence, nepotism, words like that.
And this office draws a royalty every time Frank Barton affects an executive home. We can't lose.
The environment loses.
Tell Frank Barton, can't even spell environment.
He can only just spell field.
I see. It's been a most instructive morning.
Good.
Afternoons are best.
Why?
Because at the end of them you get to go home.
You mean to tell me you've got no ambition?
Oh, ambition's daft. Work's daft. If my old man hadn't fixed this with Mr. Bellamy, I'd be hanging round street corners with the other 39 kids in our class.
Now then, chaps.
Oh, we thought you were really, really wonderful on the electric wireless this morning, Raymond.
Oh, God, you heard that, did you?
We listened to every other word.
Was it really awful?
Yes.
Oh, it wasn't that bad. In fact, you couldn't tell it from a normal, everyday interview on local radio.
Oh, I hope that's a compliment.
Approximately.
You haven't changed your mind about lunch?
No.
We got a message for you about lunch.
Did you?
Yeah. Who was it? Pete!
Pete, come out from behind those headphones.
What was the message for Mr. Cass? About lunch.
That one.
That one. Yeah.
Yeah? What sort of message is that?
I remember. It was about lunch. Meet someone in the Las Vegas. Tandoori takeaway.
A station refreshment room.
Platform 5.
At 1 o'clock.
The Manhattan bar at the Midland Hotel.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And who am I supposed to meet in the Manhattan bar?
Well, it's up to you, isn't it? I mean, why not just go in there and take your chance?
No, he's a big bloke.
Oh, that's it, big fella. You can't miss him. We called here personally, in the flesh. He said we had to give you this message. Oh, look, come on, everybody. Think of tall men.
Henry Cooper.
Oh, Vanessa Redgrave.
No.
Jackie Charlton. Nelson.
Nelson?
Yeah, he gets cracked on by pigeons. That's how tall
he is. Frank Barton.
Frank Barton?
Well, he's quite a large man, isn't he?
So tall he's got time zones.
Listen!
I can't hear anything. What is it you can hear? The first snowdrop.
Frank Barton wants to meet me in the Manhattan bar at 1. Is that the message?
That's the gist of it, yeah. There's no need to shout, Mr. Crass. Just speak clearly and distinctly.
Better not keep Frank Barton waiting. I'll be in my office if anybody.
I once went into the Manhattan bar. I ordered one of their supersonic Manhattan cocktails.
So?
The Manhattan many.
God, the inmates are taking over the asylum.
Workers' control, comrade. If we're not quick, there'll be nothing left to control.
There's life in a capitalist hyena yet.
Yeah, and he's waiting for you in the Manhattan bar.
Maggie, are you quite sure you won't join us?
I don't think so, thanks. You don't seem to be falling apart.
Bad joke! A really lousy joke! Let's hear it for Maggie, the most promising newcomer! Hey! Don't forget, staff meeting at 2 o'clock.
I could hardly wait.
Hey, you promised to buy me a pint at lunchtime.
Did I?
Yeah, if I got those prints done for you.
Oh, yeah, but that was just a ploy to get rid of you. I didn't really want the prints.
That's all right. I didn't get them.
The girl's off sick. Bubonic plague. Good lad. Buy your pint.
Right.
Do you fancy a pint and a game of darts?
Love to.
Fabulous. Oh.
But I keep telling everybody I've got a lunch date.
We naturally assumed that was a lie.
There's another man.
Oh, there, Peter. Daddy, buy another dolly.
Are you ready for lunch, Maggie?
Thank you, Mr. Bellamy.
We'll see you later. I hope so.
Crafty sod. Comes out of that door, Mark Bellamy, and steals our best girl.
He's not in the competition, is he?
No, he didn't pay his quid.
Still a bit off, though, isn't it, eh?
Yeah, well, it's the great approved school of life, Peter, my old son. Come on, let's go to the pub.
Yeah.
We're quick, we're getting the dartboard,
eh?
Pete!
You're out of order! Shut it! Pete is the champion!
I tried to get back in good time, you know, set a good example. Oh. It often seems to turn out like this. Deserted.
They're probably out, checking drainage layouts or something.
Oh, you've met Tom?
Yes.
Never lost a client yet through...
Cholera?
Well, I suppose it's true. You know, he really is awfully good at drains. He said to me once... It might be human excreta to you, Mr. Bellamy, but it's bread and butter to me. It was 2 o'clock, wasn't it, the staff meeting? I mean, that was the general sort of understanding.
Yes, I think so.
Yes. What time do you make it?
Quarter past. Oh, I might be a minute or two fast.
You know, I sometimes wonder if this office lacks dynamic leadership.
Oh, the buildings go off.
Yes, that's true.
And they don't fall down, do they?
No, no. Hardly ever.
Well, if the system works.
I never meant to be a boss, but then, well, I never meant to be anything, really. Things just happen, don't they?
I don't think people plan things. I mean, I don't. Do you?
Oh, no, no, no. It was just... Well, you see, it was my father's business. Well, not really a business. It was just him and an assistant. And I went to college, drifted through the examinations, skin of my teeth, of course, and came here, joined the firm. And then... does the name Harold Macmillan mean anything?
Wasn't he a Prime Minister?
Oh, God, it's good to know that. Oh, no offence, no, it's reassuring. You see, he seemed a decent bloke. I've seen him on television, he seemed quite amusing. Well, anyway, this Harold Macmillan, back in the 50s, he organised an economic boom. Whoosh. And suddenly, everybody wanted to build buildings, so we expanded. Oh, there were a dozen people working here at one time.
Oh, yes, I see all the boards.
And then there was a slump. And then there was another boom. And then there was another slump. I enjoyed the slumps the best. It was just me and Tom then. I did the art, he did the drains. It was cosy. Besides, I mean, well, you can kid yourself, you're being creative, can't you? Wear suede shoes and a bow tie, but you're still respectable, isn't it?
Yes, understood.
But this time it's different, this...
Recession.
Now, you'll work for Frank Barton.
Oh.
Does the name Frank Barton mean anything to you?
Well, he has been explained to me, and I have met him.
He's not my favourite human being, but... Well, he does tend to buy large fields, and we fill them with houses, and he pays us large sums of money. So we're able to survive.
And without him?
Does the phrase official receiver mean anything to you?
Oh, that bad.
Well, you see, I carry the seeds of my own destruction. Do you see?
No. To be honest, I don't see Mr. Bellamy.
Oh, well, we had this student work here at one time. They called him Rasputin.
Rasputin, I've heard of him.
Oh, not the real Rasputin.
The student who worked here.
He was from the School of Architecture.
Yes, they've told me about him.
Oh, he wore T-shirts with slogans.
Friends of the Earth?
Oh, everybody's friend. He used to sit there at his drawing board, growing his beard and worrying about Southeast Asia.
Yeah, he started a staff meeting.
Well, he believed in democracy. Actually, I think it was his democracy he believed in, but... Oh, I liked him. I mean, considering he was a lunatic, I liked him. And he told me, I was a wicked capitalist and I carried the seeds of my own destruction. It's a system, apparently. It's beginning to look as if he was right. Meanwhile, we've inherited his staff meetings. That was the first step towards a fully democratic, self-governing office.
What was the second step?
Oh, I never found out. He went off to sing electric folk songs or something. I shall never know what the second step was. Hey-ho. No, I don't think God put me on this earth to be a boss.
Look, I know I've only been here a morning, and it really is none of my business. But I think you make an excellent boss.
Really?
Yes.
Well, thank you, that's very...
Yes?
Have any of the others told you? Well, I mean, you're extremely attractive.
Yes, most of them. Twice in some cases.
Oh, good. Sounds like somebody now.
And the Civic Trust Award for Best Supporting Actress... Raymond Katz. And nice to have you on the show, Raymond.
Mr. Bellamy,
So I've always been led to believe.
If I could have a word with you.
We had a word this morning. Right now, we're supposed to be having a staff meeting.
Tom isn't back yet.
He very seldom is.
And what I have to say is probably pertinent to the staff meeting.
Oh, very well. You better come into my office.
Thank you, Maggie.
He said thank you.
What sort of talk is that?
English.
Have you been doing him deeply intimate favours?
I listened to him while he talked.
Oh, he's not used to that. No wonder he said thank you.
Just to let you know, I'm back from lunch.
Oh, fabulous.
I'll take charge of the phone.
It's out of order anyway.
Is it?
No, not really.
Are they driving you round the bend?
No, I think they're all rather sweet.
You don't, do you?
Like little lost children who need somebody warm to cuddle them.
This lot?
Yeah, this lot.
I like her.
Yeah, so do I.
But however I feel about Maggie, there'll always be a corner of my 12-foot diameter circular bed for you.
Well,
circular beds don't have corners.
Sorry, it's the mirror on the ceiling I don't like. You lose all sense of direction.
And that's another thing.
No, it's not. It's the same thing.
If we're having a staff meeting at 2 o'clock...
We're half an hour late.
All of which is a very powerful argument for having our tea break here and now.
Save time later in the afternoon.
Obvious, isn't it?
I'll put the kettle on.
Is it worth picking up your razor blade and scratching a bit?
Well, you really should be listening at the door marked Bellamy.
That's true.
What are you going to do? You must have read The Guardian by now.
No problem. Early edition of the local rag.
Oh.
The Argus, Clarion and Bugle. Good middle-of-the-road fascist newspaper.
Why'd you read it?
Early racing results. Reason not to work. And a photograph of Shitface.
Mr. Cass?
Yeah, receiving his award for crematorium of the century. Mr. Bellamy in the background, slightly out of focus, that makes sense.
You'll be able to cut it out and keep it.
Oh, I will.
You admire Mr. Cass so much.
It'll help me with the wax effigy. How's the eavesdropping, Pete?
You know, he said he wanted a word with him.
Eh?
One of the words was piss off.
There's two words.
I almost thought it was one. Right, bugger off.
Tea break time. Them's with, them's without. Mr. Chambers not back yet.
Oh, he won't be too long. Site foreman should be calling last orders about now.
Shall I come to the staff meeting?
Well, it's democratic.
It's boring.
Bit of skive.
All right. Mr. Chambers could look at my skirt.
Oh, I keep telling you to sit more carefully. We're all at a difficult age.
We've got men of all ages, from 18 to 80. They're all at difficult ages.
There are no other ages.
Obviously.
Man lives in a state of permanent sexual crisis. See what I mean? Raymond Cass, the perfect example.
What do you mean?
Oh, I was just saying how absolutely devastating you look on the front page of the newspaper.
Am I on the front page?
Mm.
Not bad.
They picked your second best side.
Mr. Chambers got that yet?
I think he's at Foster's checking the drainage layout.
Yes, of course.
I brought in the tea, Mr. Bellamy.
Oh, good, good. Well, perhaps we could combine the tea break with the...
staff meeting?
Good idea.
Save time later on.
Yes.
All right, stop gloating over your press. It's time for some democracy.
Now, have we all got somewhere to sit down?
Are you staying for the meeting, Carol? Yes, I should. Good idea.
Right.
Oh, is the telephone...
Switch through.
Yes. Oh, good. Peter, perhaps you could be near the telephone.
Yeah, okay. If it rings, is anybody in?
Well, I think we're all probably in conference.
Oh, I'll tell him it's out of order.
Well, I should... Oh, yes, all right. Well, right, good, fine. Now, just for the benefit of those of you who've just started here, and those of you who've probably forgotten, this is a staff meeting, with the purpose being that the staff should meet. And, well, discuss any matters which require discussion at a meeting. I think Mr. Cass has something he wants to say.
Mm. That's true.
Fantastic.
It's rather serious, and I want you to listen carefully. Including you, Pete. Why are you putting those headphones on?
Sorry,
I want you to listen.
But
it concerns your professional future.
It's the top 40.
Oh.
You'll have been aware that Mr. Bellamy and myself have been in conference a good deal today.
In Mr. Bellamy's office?
Yeah.
We thought that might be it.
And you're probably wondering what all the discussions have been about.
Oh, we'll just play back the tapes. We'll listen.
Well, this is serious, Ben. No joking, please.
Well, if it's serious, I have to joke, Mr. Bellamy.
Two things. This morning, I received an award for the crematorium. Mm. Officially, the citation is to this office, but I felt as the man who designed the building and supervised the contract, I should receive due credit. That was the first matter we discussed in Mr. Bellamy's office.
And I agreed Mr. Cass should receive the award.
You did hear it on the radio.
Saw the photograph in the newspaper.
And we're all very proud.
Thank you, Carol.
Think nothing of it.
Now, those of you who know me will realise that, not to mince words, I'm ambitious. Mm. I make no apology for that. I happen to think that without ambition, nothing happens in this world.
It's made England what it is today.
And for some time, I've been planning to leave this office and set up my own practice.
Which Mr. Cass is perfectly entitled to do in
free society.
That sort of thing, yes.
Now, in the course of my general social life, I happen to mention my plans to Frank Barton.
Et tu, Brute? Let me have men about me that are extremely rich.
How did that score?
O-level.
English?
Yeah, failed. Easily.
Oh, we did Henry the Fourth, part one.
Mm. Oh, fabulous. I love Thomas Hardy.
We all stop blabbering on about O-levels.
Just a meaningless digression.
You could all be unemployed if you don't watch it. Now, as I was saying, I mentioned my plans to Frank Barton in the course of my social life.
At 1 o'clock in the Manhattan bar.
And Frank repeated...
Frank, that's nice.
He repeated what he said to me many times before. But if I started my own practice, he'd like me to do his work.
But Mr. Bellamy does his work.
The client may change his mind.
It's a free democracy.
You're all free to decide which hairdresser you go to, which newspaper you read, which car you drive.
Greengrocer.
Chemist.
Football team.
House of ill repute. Architect. Yes, I think we get the point.
Now look, please, take it seriously, all of you.
We are, Mr. Bellamy, I promise.
Okay, my original plan was to leave.
That's original.
However, get rid of them, there's a good lad.
Hello, I'm sorry, this phone's out of order. Would you ring up somebody else?
He's on his jacket up. I've a good mind to staple his sleeves.
Okay, original plan. Leave here. Start me on office somewhere else. However, if I'm to do Frank Barton's work, I'll obviously need some staff.
And if I'm to lose Frank Barton's work, well, I shall obviously have to shed some staff.
Oh, you mean we all get the sack and go somewhere else to work for this gentlemen.
That's roughly the...
situation.
Yes.
But what's in it for Frank Barton?
How do you mean, what's in it for Frank Barton?
The man's a moron. He doesn't give a bugger who designed his executive-style houses. And they're all the same. House, kitchen, through lounge, 2.5 bedrooms, integral garage. What's the percentage in having your name on the drawings instead of Mr. Bellamy's?
I thought you were brighter than that, Ben.
No, I'm not at all bright. Inside of me, it's got a matte finish, especially on a Monday.
I know. Great.
What do you know?
I know what the percentage is.
Well, tell us.
It's for the television commercials.
Right.
Explain.
Television commercial, Village Green, band playing, Morris dancers, drum majorettes, executive-style houses decked with the flags of the Empire, and the once famous pop singer pretending to be the milkmaid says... How would you like to live in a 20th century village, conceived by our award-winning design team?
Oh, Christ, yes, it's wonderful.
Award-winning, that's the big deal.
And they all think they're getting a house designed by Glenda Jackson or the two Ronnies.
Yes, I think I might say, I mean, without prejudice...
Oh, there's no prejudice in this room, except against one man.
Now, that was the real reason Mr. Cass was so keen to accept the award in his name, as it were.
And so to speak.
Both, probably.
That's about it, yeah.
You really are a shitface, aren't you?
No, look, Ben, I think we should moderate, don't you? I mean, ladies present...
But he is a shitface, Mr. Bellamy.
Well, yes, I suppose he is.
Anyway, the simple fact is, I made a takeover bid.
Hey, I've read about them.
You take over the whole shooting match?
Yes.
You'd work in that room there, behind the door marked Bellamy?
Yes, in principle, though the name would change, of course.
But if he was in there, he wouldn't be near with us.
But what about Mr. Bellamy?
That's really up to Mr. Bellamy.
Yes. Yes, it's really up to me.
What is up to you?
Well, you see, Mr. Cass has made me an offer.
That you can't refuse?
Read the small print.
Oh, no, it's really a very good offer. I'd stay on as a partner.
A junior partner?
Slightly, somewhat junior, yes.
How can you make a takeover bid? You haven't got any money.
So, tell me somebody who has.
Yes, but you can't take things over without money.
I have financial backing, that's different.
Frank Barton.
Frank's prepared to underwrite the operation, yeah?
Has he got any money?
He's got financial backing.
Have they got any money?
I bet it's all a tax loss.
What do you know about things like that?
I watch World in Action and Panorama. All about takeovers and tax losses. Using up the money so you don't have to give it to the government.
You've been reading The Guardian behind my back.
He's a closet stockbroker.
Asset strippers. Take places over, close them down. Sack the staff, keep the money. Oh, the right bastards, a lot of them.
There's no question of sacking anybody.
Asset strippers. Somebody should staple their sleeves.
Yeah, if the agreement goes through, you'll all be guaranteed your present jobs.
We still have to come in on Monday mornings, won't we?
I'm proposing immediate rises for everybody, bonus schemes, and profit sharing.
Golly, real pieces of silver, everybody.
Profit sharing?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were an old-fashioned capitalist hyena. Now you sound like a woolly-minded liberal. I'm sorry, it's none of my business.
64 is a social democrat, a sheep in wolf's clothing.
It is your business, Maggie. It's everybody's business.
It's Mr. Bellamy's business.
Huh?
I mean, it's his business, isn't it?
Yes, but you see, I've told Mr. Cass. I said, put your offer to the staff. Now, if they say yes, I'll say yes. If they say no, I'll say no.
Real live workers' control.
Yes, I suppose this could be stage two of the Rasputin plan.
We've got to decide.
Please.
Fabulous.
Mr. Chambers isn't here.
Oh, never is.
Well, I'd like to know what he thinks.
Yes. A view of the proposition as seen from your average sewer.
I locked out.
You work here?
I haven't drawn a line yet.
Oh, have you seen any of them draw any lines yet?
Not really. I've seen some rather good scratching out, though.
Hey, this is the burden of decision-making, isn't it?
Now that's a good line.
The money programme.
Can we just get this carve-up into perspective?
Mm-hmm.
As I understand it, if we go along with this, we all keep our jobs. But if we say knickers to Mr. Cass, you lose Frank Barton's business and...
I close the office.
Good night, nurse. Race you to the job centre.
Yes.
Oh, this telephone's still out of order. Well, I can't help that. We're into top-level negotiations in here. Don't know who he thinks he is, but he's going bananas.
You see, well, it's really up to all of you to decide...
Well.
Direct. Not my business.
Oh, heck.
Wife and 2.4 kids.
Remember Colditz?
Colditz?
The tunnels.
Oh, yeah.
Pull off. The office is full of people.
We're having a staff meeting.
Ah, staff meeting. 2 o'clock, I remember. Late. Sorry, Mr. Bellamy. Had to call at Foster's to check the drainage layer.
Yes, of course.
Somebody tell Mr. Chambers the story so far.
I'm going to staple his sleeves.
I am making a takeover bid for the office. Whatever happens, Frank Barton is going to be my client. So, we've agreed that the most sensible thing is for me to take over the whole shooting match. Senior partner, Mr. Bellamy, junior partner. You will all stay on as my employees with substantial pay rises.
A profit sharing?
Yeah, and profit sharing.
Mm. Provided we're all agreeable.
How long to decide?
Frank Barton's coming into the office at 4. He's bought 3 more fields.
Yorkshire, Lancashire and Cheshire.
Ooh. And we're going out to look at them.
Oh, I like looking at fields. Green things.
I would like to be able to tell him that the agreement is...
Agreed?
Yeah.
And this is at 4 o'clock. When Frank comes in with his fields.
Carol, do you think some black coffee will...
No, I don't need any artificial aids. So, you are going to take over this firm, Mr. Cass?
Yes, I would like to.
Very much?
Hmm?
You would like to very much?
Yes, I would like to very much.
Well, I don't give a monkey's
apart.
Well, that's all right, then.
No, I haven't finished yet. Got to tell you my war story, sir.
Now, you see,
in the war in the desert...
Which is really relevant, Mr.
Oh, yes, highly relevant, Mr. Bellamy.
Right.
You see, I spent the war in the desert, in the army, in a hole in the sand, hiding. Head down, so as not to get killed, and thus hasten the victory for the glorious Allies. Sound thinking? Hide in a hole?
Yes.
In the war, I killed a man. Trained killer. You have been working day by day with a trained killer. Oh, they teach you how to do it. With a rifle and with a bayonet. Screaming. Oh, God. I killed my man with a rifle. On guard, in my hole in the sand... Shadowy figure in the darkness. Bang, bang, you're dead. And he was dead. He was one of ours. English. 19 years old. I was 21. Didn't kill anybody else. No Germans. No Italians. No English. Just hid in my hole in the sand. The officer said to me, bad luck. Accidents do happen in wartime. So they all look alike in the darkness. Don't worry, he said. So you see, Mr. Cat, Mr. Bellamy, it doesn't matter. If you've killed a man at the age of 21 because you're frightened and it's dark, that matters. But who runs an architect's office? That doesn't matter a monkey's fart. Drains matter. I was in the war in the desert.
We know.
I was in the war in the desert. And in Asia. And in India. I've seen cholera. And I've seen dysentery. And I've seen malaria. Oh, yes. Drains matter. But the rest? Who does the arty-farty bits? Who gets the money? Who gets the prizes? It's all monkey's farts. But, twist my arm, I am bound to say that you smell better than him, Mr. Bellamy. Oh, the model of the beautiful crematorium. I still say that roof isn't properly triangulated. Now, is that the evening paper, Ben?
Yeah.
Toss it over, there's a good chap. Ah, now, this is what it's all about.
Right. Oh, God.
Births, marriages, and deaths. But mainly about death. Agnew Herbert, dearly beloved husband. Bartram Ivy, lovely wife and mother. Don't worry. It doesn't matter. It's happening all the time. And we have just the award-winning place for you. Light the blue touch paper. And place in model of crematorium.
He's in the model on fire.
Don't be stupid.
Ashes to ashes.
You're crazy.
In the sure and certain knowledge of the resurrection to come.
Amen.
I knew there was a use for your tea, Carol.
I'm sorry, everybody, that you shouldn't ask such bloody silly questions. Anyway, you can always make another model. I think I'd better sit down.
Well, I've never known democracy to turn out like this before.
Well, I'm sure we've all been very moved by what Tom has to say, and all I can say is I do respect his sincerity.
Would you fight for his right to think you're a monkey's fart?
I want to know what to tell Frank Bard at 4 o'clock.
Yes, I think in fairness to everybody... Well, we should all say what we think.
Any offers?
Shall I go before the brave, decisive men?
It's what usually happens.
I like working for Mr. Bellamy. I like Mr. Bellamy. I'm not crazy about Mr. Cass, but I'd like my kids to go on having milk with the Rice Krispies. So I'll stay. Sorry, Mr. Bellamy. It's nothing personal. Just sentimental about the hard cash.
It's all right, I understand. Mm. Tom.
It looks like an abstention.
Ben?
I think I'll grab my Colditz files and run away into the hills.
Good.
But I might come crawling back in a year's time begging forgiveness.
Peter. Oh, Peter, take your headphones off.
You are?
Do you want to work for Mr. Cass?
Do I have book of it? I don't work for anybody. It's all rubbish work. I mean, what's the big deal about work when you're no good at anything in the first place?
Well, isn't it important? Self-respect or something along those lines.
You can have self-respect when you're reading books or listening to music or drinking or sleeping or pissing about just the same as working.
It's the age of leisure.
You should watch more documentaries then, you'd know. Roll on microchips, that's what I say.
That's all you've got to say.
I'd like to know what's number 7 in the top 40. Nothing else matters much.
If you've quite finished your sermon.
No, I haven't quite finished. There is something else very important that I wish to say.
Well, let's hear it, Peter.
Maggie, I would like to place it on record that I love you very much, and I hope you feel the same way about me.
I
hope you will say so, with witnesses, plus a significant show of affection.
You love me?
Yeah.
Well, in that case, I love you.
I think you better pour a mug of tea over them, Carol.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
What the hell is going on?
I want £4 off you.
What are you talking about?
We all put a quid in, didn't we? A significant show of affection with witnesses.
Yeah, come on, pay up. Honest Cass always honours his debts.
The whole future of this office is at stake. Why are you buggering about with stupid bets?
Because I won the stupid bet, didn't I? She loves me.
You'll have to pay up, Mr. Cass.
And it's my favourite programme on a stupid staff meeting. At least I'm going to be £3 up on the afternoon.
£3.91.
Oh, come on.
You didn't pay the full amount.
Shit face.
Take the money and run.
You know, I've completely lost track of what's going on.
I don't want to marry you, though.
I don't want to marry you.
Great.
Is Tom all right?
All right. Very peaceful.
Where the hell are we up to?
Well, Mr. Bellamy was going round all of us, collecting our reactions to your grand designs for rebuilding the universe.
Yes, that seems to be about...
Right?
Yes.
Yes, and I think what you've got is a true British answer. Wholehearted, full-blooded, 100% apathy and indifference. We'd rather work for a nice fellow than a nasty one, but basically we couldn't care less.
That's really wonderful, isn't it?
I'd say it's really, really wonderful.
I'd say it's really, really, really wonderful.
Telephone Pete. Telephone Pete.
Telephone Pete.
Why doesn't somebody just answer the phone?
Right, well, it shouldn't really be ringing. It's out of order.
Hello, I'm sorry, this phone's still out of order. Well, I can't help that. There's cholera in the office. I'm sorry, but whoever is screaming at me in a panic-stricken way.
Who does he want to speak to?
Mr. Cass.
I'll take it. Yes, yes.
I think it's about the crematorium.
Did he say so?
Yes.
No, it was on the radio just now, in the headphones.
On the radio?
What was on the radio?
Yes, tell me.
A news flash. The roof's fallen in.
The roof?
Really?
Yeah,
the roof of the crematorium.
Well, describe it to me.
It's on the top.
I always said it wasn't properly triangulated.
I want all the crematorium drawings. I think it was the same bloke who tried ringing earlier on when the phone were out of order.
Oh, that's possible.
You must be very glad it's not your responsibility.
Well, it's something of a relief.
The drawings, Pete!
I think he wants the drawings.
Yeah, I'll fetch him later.
Is there anybody hurt?
Oh, no, it isn't open yet, is it?
Mind you, if you're going to have a building collapse on people, a crematorium's handy.
Yeah.
Cuts out the middleman sort of thing.
Big saving on transport.
Peter!
Sorry, did you want something, Mr. Cass?
It doesn't matter.
You see, if you wait a few minutes, most things end up not married.
They're in this pile, aren't they?
What's that, Mr. Cass?
The crematorium drawings.
I think they're in that pile, Mr.
Cass. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for the crematorium roof.
It isn't funny.
Telephone, Pete.
I'm on my way. The last one was terrific. Hello, J. Bellamy, RIBA, Chartered Architect.
Hey, it's a local radio station. They want to do another interview, if you're interested.
Tell them to go screw themselves.
No, I'm sorry, he's not interested. Hey, listen, what was number 7 in your top 40? Well, I was listening, but there was this pretty girl who wanted to kiss me, see? All right, thanks a lot. Bye.
Now, what seems to be the problem? Well, for a start, it has not collapsed.
Oh, good.
It's just slipped along the top here, pushing out the gutter and about 2 crosses of brickwork.
It's only starting to collapse.
But if we put in some temporary ties across here and here...
A sort of cross-bracing.
Yes.
It should help to stabilise it.
I'll tell you what else it'll do.
No jokes.
No jokes. You put ties in across there, you'll have triangulated the sod.
Hello, J. Bellamy, RIBA, Chartered Architect. This is the place where the action is. Do you want to talk to the Daily Mirror?
Not even on my deathbed.
He says, will you come back tomorrow? Bye.
Right, we'll have to go down to the site.
The Minister of the Triangulation.
Don't you need a priest for that?
Well, why not get a priest anyway? Just be on the safe side.
There is another way.
Buddhism?
Instead of putting those ties in across there...
What's that?
Sky hooks.
Tell them the phone's out of order.
Yeah, no, I hope yours. It's the best Monday afternoon we've had since the party. Oh, J. Bellamy, RIBA, Chartered Architect. Hey, it's the BBC. Oh. Do you want to be on Nationwide?
No, I bloody don't.
No, I'm afraid he's not in the office at the moment. He's out having a sex change operation. we're all... what's the word for office cleaners?
Transvestites.
We're all transvestites in this office. Oh, you as well. Great, innit, eh?
Afternoon, all. How are the walls of Jericho?
You must have heard the trumpets, Mr. Barton.
Heard it on the wireless, couldn't stop laughing. I don't see what's funny.
I do. You are something. You're bloody funny. You're flaming hysterical.
We were going to look at those fields.
Yorkshire, Lancashire and Cheshire.
I like you. You've got a sense of humour.
I polish my nose every morning.
Just one thing, Frank, if we could call it the crematorium on the way.
Well, the bug is still there, do you mean?
Oh, I like it, Mr. Barton. I really like it. While the bugger's still there.
Let's hear it.
Yes, let's hear it for Frank Barton.
Well, Mr. Cass, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You are going to your crematorium and you're going to put Humpty Dumpty together again. And I am going to look at 3 enormous fields with Mr. Bellamy.
Golly gosh, a happy ending.
Look, Frank, the roof hasn't collapsed. It's a slight technical problem. I've been seeing my television commercial. My 20th century village for promising young executives. The village green flooded. The band's out of tune. The maypole collapses on top of the Morris dancers and the drum majorettes. And our milkmaid, well, she's too drunk to say her lines properly, and she gets gored to death by the cow. You get the message, Mr. Cass?
I get the message.
So let's stop pissing about, Sunbeam. You blew it. Not the first, not the last. Your skyhooks gave way, that's all. And one day it'll happen to me, I dare say. But not today. Do you fancy 3 large fields, Mr. Bellamy?
Oh, I'm sure I could grow to love them.
And you've got work to do, Mr. Cass.
Yeah. I'll be on my way. What's wrong with this jacket?
I'm not an educated woman, Mr. Cass, but I'd say somebody stapled up the sleeves.
No, I don't.
Hello, J. Bellamy, RIBA, Chartered Architect. Oh, yeah, good. Yeah, thanks a lot. Bye. The GPO. They say the phone's working again.
Oh, jolly good. Fields, Mr. Barton?
Good idea, Mr. Bellamy. Do you know what they were doing with them?
What, the fields?
Only growing things in them.
Barley, potatoes. How extraordinary.
I mean to say, food.
Hey, I really enjoyed this afternoon.
Yeah, we could tell.
Well, it's 4:15. Are you thinking of doing some work?
Hey, Carol, I've got this great idea.
Is it to do with tea or coffee?
Hmm? Yeah, more or less. Mm. I mean, if we had a coffee break now...
Save time in the morning.
Well, it would, wouldn't it?
I'm only doing this because I'm very nice.
Mm.
I love you as well as Maggie.
Ah, thanks, Pete.
Good morning.
Jesus.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Did I startle you? I
thought it was a slight case of resurrection.
No, in which case you are quite right to say Jesus. Yeah. Are they all gone?
Yeah. Quite a lot happened while you were resting.
Yeah. I dare say the crematorium collapsed to starters.
You were listening.
I've got a sixth sense. Also, as I was walking past it on my way back from the pub, I noticed a police car, an ambulance, and a small crowd of spectators.
And you said, I told you so.
Well, look at the charred remains of its model. That roof isn't properly triangulated. What time is it?
Coffee break time.
Are the big noises coming back?
Mr. Bellamy's gone to look at Alberta, Manitoba and Saskatchewan.
Oh. In which case, I think I'll call at Foster's.
Check the drainage layout.
Right.
Do you know, it's funny, but I thought he checked it.
Ah, double check. Always pays to double check.
Thank you, Mr. Chambers.
I regret to say I don't recall giving you anything, my dear.
For what you said about the desert and death and...
Oh, my true confession. Yeah, I warn you, you have the sort of face that provokes men into long and humiliating confessions. Also, I don't recall a syllable of what I said. Probably all lies, anyway. Oh, but I will give you one true confession. When I'm out, ostensibly checking the drains, I don't always go to the pub. Sometimes I go into the cathedral.
The cathedral? What, the self-communion wine out of ours?
I go to the cathedral, not because I believe in God, but because it's the last building I know that was constructed by men who loved their work. They received a penny a day and a few crusts from the bishop's table. But they loved what they were doing. Imagine that. Loving your work. Ah, that's where Rasputin got it wrong. And where the system betrays us. I don't know. They've made it impossible for us to love our work. And now... I think I'll go and bore somebody else.
A very gallant gentleman.
Yes. Tomorrow's coffee break. Them's with, them's without.
Are you enjoying your experience, Maggie?
I think it's really, really wonderful, thank you.
Job satisfaction. You can't beat it.
One thing I've noticed.
I said she was quick. She's noticed one thing.
The only work done in this office today is Peter scratched out half a blot. Apart from that, nothing.
Well, we're a profession. We don't have to work.
I wonder if they had coffee breaks on the Titanic.
Oh, Pete.
Watch this. Shug!
That's terrific.
First time I've done it with witnesses.
It's a trick. You use sky hooks.
No. Oh, everything stops if you leave it long enough.
In Skyhooks, Ben was played by Christian Rodska, Maggie by Janet Amsbury, and Tom by James Tomlinson. Michael Jenner was Pete, Malcolm Hebden, Bellamy, and Alan Cody, Cass. Barton was played by Bernard Latham, and Carol by Leslie Nichol. This production was originally presented at the Coliseum Theatre, Oldham. Skyhooks was written by Alan Plater and directed in Manchester by Caroline Smith.